listening to Alien X Radio, and this is your afternoon interview.
I got online right now my guest, Tiffany Shepis. How are you doing this evening?
I'm awesome. I am enjoying the weather in Arizona, which we just discussed that you people in Michigan don't like to hear about the nice weather across the country.
Yeah, we get a little perturbed with that.
However, I mean, on the flip side, we do have the Jody Arias catastrophe that goes on here. So it's like the double-edged sword. Like, nice weather, but we got crazy people.
Oh, yeah, no matter where you go, you're going to get both. You're going to get the nice weather. Then we have nice weather most of the time, but then we have hurricanes the rest of the year, you know?
Yeah, we have dust storms and roadrunners, and it's hot as shit in the summer.
Yeah, that dry heat, too, in Arizona, right?
It doesn't matter. Hot's hot.
Yeah, you're right. Hot is hot. They always say, what's that dry heat? Like, well, I sweat the same. I'm wet when I'm hot. I'm sweating on myself.
No, we're the only stupid people that it's literally a desert that somebody just put concrete on and said, yes, you should move here. Yeah, that's where we live. Not too smart, like where you see the postcards with the skeleton sunbathing. That's my backyard.
Nice.
So as nice as it is right now, we can talk again in 2 months when it's 125.
Oh, yeah, I'll be able to hear the heat on the other end. Oh, my God, I couldn't imagine that kind
melt.
Of heat. Oh. I like warm weather, but I don't like hot weather.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, it's awful. So I printed out. I do this every time I got a guest here. I print out their list from IMDb of all the movies that they've been in and such. And I have pretty small printing here, and I still had to use two pages. You've been pretty busy.
Yeah, I've been pretty busy for what should I say? I've been working for 5 years.
Yeah, well, that's pretty busy, though, when you got this much stuff in 5 years.
No. Yeah, in about 15 years. No, I've been real busy. I absolutely, hands down, love the genre that I work in, and predominantly because we always have new up-and-coming kids that are, like, horror fans, and they get sick of watching horror films, and they get sick of watching remakes, and they go, man, I'm going to make my own movie, and thankfully they call me for a lot of stuff, and I guess, thankfully, and not so thankfully, often they're not always the best movies. You can see a plethora of titles in there that you really could just, like, kind of skim over. You don't really even need to watch. But, you know, for every 10 really bad ones, there's one gem. So I guess I'm lucky in that respect.
Yeah, actually, my producer, Michael Klinkenbeard, who contacted you for the show.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Yeah, I've actually known him for quite a long time because I started doing my own independent films, too, back in 2006, and that's when I met him online. I'm obviously in Detroit. He's in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And we had talked about different things, and when I was working on my movie, trying to get it out, he had come out as an actor in a movie called Zombie, Zombie, Zombies, which I saw and didn't even realize you were in it until later. So how did you hook up with Zombie, Zombie, Zombies?
You know, I the writer, Jason Murphy, I believe, I want to say it was a long time ago, that we had chatted a whole bunch online. Like, I mean, and that's kind of, I mean, the miraculous thing about, you know, internet now is that you really can get in touch with anybody. And, you know, through Facebook or back in the day with MySpace and stuff. But I think he started chatting me with about his movies and what he was trying to do and said, you know, hey, we have the cameo for you and it'd be really awesome and we're going to try to shoot it in 3D. And I just thought they were really charming and ambitious and shooting at, I believe it was called Full Sail. Is that right? The university out there, maybe? Maybe I'm wrong. But anyway, it was a film school, and I came out to Florida and shot with them for a day or two, and had this really fun, wacky cameo in the movie within the movie.
Yeah,
and that is how I ended up in Zombie, Zombie, Zombie.
Yeah, well, obviously, I knew Michael Klinkenbeard was in it, so I was trying my hardest to get a copy of this movie. I finally get a copy, and I put it in. I didn't know about the movie within a movie. So,
So
when that one started, obviously the acting in that move in that part from the one gentleman that you were in the scene with, it seemed like they were intentionally acting poorly. And I was like,
we were, and I hope that came off not just like, wow, Tiffany's really bad. Like,
well, at first,
the point was to be really over the top, ridiculous, and make this whole thing like they're superhuman zombies, you know, as awesomely bad as possible. So your viewers are like, what the hell am I watching? And then, you know, you pull out to even get a more outrageous movie with strippers versus zombies, you know?
Yeah, it was so funny the way he was over the top. Like, he was playing off that the 3D thing too. You better leave or I'll call the cops. And he sticks a cell phone right into the camera.
I think that whole part's hysterical.
It is.
I think it's so funny.
But I was, though, when I was watching, I was a little worried. I was like, oh no, is this movie going to be like this? As soon as they said cut, and I was like, okay, whew.
See, that's when you just should have made yourself a drink and some popcorn and went along for the ride.
Yeah. No, but it turned out to be a good movie. And your scene, of course, was good. You were kicking ass, swinging around a machete and stuff. Yeah. Got to cause some blood flying around and stuff. I'm going
to
go.
Yeah, we need to do zombies.
Yeah.
Sequel.
That sounds like a great title for it, too.
Right? How original.
Zombie Squared. There you go. I'm going to go all the way back here. The first thing on your list here is actually 1996 and Romeo and Juliet. Was that your first movie?
Yeah, it was. I think I had done like some student films or something before that, but my first movie that actually had a release was Romeo and Juliet for Troma Studios, and I was, I think, about 16, and I played Peter, the bodyguard for the Capulet family. Which was James Gunn. James Gunn wrote and directed the movie. James Gunn, who wrote Live Action Scooby-Doo, and I think he's doing that. He's directing that Guardians of the Galaxy huge, giant movie right now. I'm not in any of those big movies, but I was in his first movie.
But you're part of Troma, though. That's awesome to be able to say you're part of Troma.
For sure. Yeah, I love Troma. I mean, I worked with them for a lot of years, going to Cannes, doing all their promotional stuff. Lots and lots of documentaries, lots of wraparounds for movies that I was never in, lots of covers of movies I was never in. You can't beat the way Troma does stuff. And it's certainly, or at least back when I was working a lot with them, you can't beat the type of film experience you get working with Troma, because there's just not enough money that everybody has to pitch in and do everything. So you become a master of promotions. You know, you become a master of talking about films and knowing other people's work, you know, as well. And because you never know who's going to pop into that office, because as crazy as Lloyd Kaufman is, it's as smart as he is as well. Like, he knows everybody. He speaks like 100 different languages, and you're kind of in awe of this crazy mad genius. So, you know, you can learn a lot from working over in that sick camp.
And even though, like you said, it's a lot of work for everybody, because everybody, it's all hands on deck. Like you said, you don't have, you know, 1,000 people on your staff to do all these different things. It seems like even though they're working hard and putting their nose to the grindstone, that company is not worried about making a big selling movie as much as they are, let's make a movie that we would want to sit down and watch. You know, they're not worried about making that big, giant cash-in from the box office. They want to make something that's fun and is going to last, and people are going to want to watch it over and over again.
Well, sure. I mean, but if you make something that's fun and that lasts and that people want to watch over and over again, you know, you would hope that you're actually making money with it. I mean, that's the key, is to get, you know, a decent following for these smaller movies without big promotional money, and through word of mouth, through conventions, through followers, that these things keep selling, and which is why I think Troma's still around. It's because of stuff like that. It's, you know, they have such a brand that, without having commercials or billboards or anything like that, folks still talk about Troma.
Right, it's
like
fan
promoted.
You and
I are still sitting here having a conversation about a movie that's, you know, 20 years old.
Yeah, it's fan promoted. You know, like you said, it's the people that enjoy the movies that are telling other people, hey, you need to check out this movie. Or I just saw Poultrygeist, you know, I need you to go check out that movie. You know, that was a hilarious movie,
sure.
Too. It was hilarious.
I know. Yeah, and fans love it. Like, fans love to be involved, which is why things like Kickstarter work, you know? I mean, people want to be involved more than just paying, you know, $15 at, you know, Best Buy and buying a movie. You know, they want to be involved in these things, which is why people go to conventions. It's like, once you get to meet somebody, your favorite actor, you know, and if they're cool and you're not a crazy person, next thing you know, you're chatting on Facebook. Next thing you know, you have them on your podcast. It's, you know, it's the easiest genre to get involved with people in my opinion.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. Like, the very first one that I produced was a zombie movie because I wanted to have horror. I wanted to have lots of makeup, and I wanted stunts. I wanted
what
all
is it called?
Stuff. It's called Long Live the Dead.
Long Live the Dead.
Yes.
I like it.
And the sequel was Super Zombies, Long Live the Dead 2.
Ooh, of
fancy.
Course.
Yes.
But the big question is, why was I not in this masterpiece?
Because I had about $37 to make this movie with.
That's how much I make.
Oh, well, well, next time I'll call you.
Come on, man. Get with it.
So you got to come out here. It's $37 and free pizza.
I love it. I love it. And I eat cheese pizza, too. I don't even need all the fancy toppings.
Oh, see, you're cheaper then.
Come on. You just, you know, you if you don't ask, the answer is always no.
That's right. That's right. And you know what? I was talking to Sean Whalen last week also.
Oh, he's a nice guy, too.
Oh, big time. He said the same thing to me. He said, hey, if it makes sense for me to leave Los Angeles, I'm not expensive. I'll be in independent films. I got no problem. If it makes sense, I'll be there.
It's true. You never know. I mean, you never know. All of a sudden, somebody, you may call, you know, or shoot an email to somebody. I mean, obviously, try not to make offers that are ridiculous, but
right.
I mean, you do never know. Like, hey, I may just want to get the fuck out of Arizona in the 120-degree heat and go to a place that's has a pool.
Right, right.
You know? And so you really never know. And like I said, your answer is always no if people don't ask. So next time, I want my free pizza and to be in Long Live the Dead Part 3.
Yes. Yes. And there is one being written, by the way.
I know, I'm sure.
Yeah, there is.
I'm going to tell you, Felissa Rose is going to star in it, too. She doesn't know it yet.
Oh, okay, yeah. Hey, you know what? I did hear something recently. I heard, I don't know how long ago this was. Were you in a reality show with her?
No, Felissa and I, we were part of a reality show that was being pitched, and still is, kind of floating around some really big production companies in Hollywood. But there's no definite news on it yet, so that's kind of true. If the company that still has the rights to it does what they planned on doing with it, then yeah, everybody will see something that's pretty interesting from me and Felissa and a few other jigs.
Yeah. So the rumors that I got though was that it's a reality television show where all these horror actresses are living together, I guess, and working on a movie at the same time.
No, they're not living together, but working on a film together, and all the craziness that goes on a horror movie set, and you know, stuff that goes on between actresses, you know, director conflicts, script conflicts, you know, balancing the home life with making horror movies, that kind of deal. But I mean, I'm sure she could tell you a whole lot more than I can.
Oh well, she's coming up here shortly. Anyway, she's my second guest today. So
there you go. There you go. Once you ask her about that, ask her about her second favorite subject and tell her it's from me. Felissa loves to talk about breastfeeding.
Second favorite topic, you said? Second favorite thing to talk about?
Yeah, second favorite topic. Like, she just talks about it all the time. It's really, it's sometimes uncomfortable.
Oh, I hope it's not about her being 13 years old and finding out her character has a penis.
That should be the third topic, following up breastfeeding.
Getting ready for today's show, I watched a few of your movies, and I, of course, watched Sleepaway Camp again, too. That ending scene in Sleepaway Camp just totally creeps me out, man, every time.
Well, yeah, you're a guy.
Ooh, we have a call coming in here.
Uh-oh.
Let's see who we got here. If I can, let's see, add to call group. TapDetroit.com, who's this? TapDetroit.com, who's this?
Hello, this is Shane Miller. Is Tiffany Shepis there?
She's on the line right now.
Hi, Shane Miller.
Cool.
What's happening, man?
Hey, I'm doing great.
What's going on?
Not much.
Did you have a question for me?
Yeah, I got a question. How's that? What's going on with that TV show you're working on, the web series, the horror one?
The one with Rolf, the Once Upon a Horror?
Yes.
You know, nothing's happening with it at the moment, but we did shoot a bunch of wraparounds for Once Upon a Horror, which is kind of a cross between, like, USA Up All Night and, like, you know, old Elvira shows. And so what we intended on doing with it originally was, you know, having these wraparounds, and then we were going to create shorts that go in between all of them as a pitch for a television series. However, since, you know, TV is such a pain in the ass, we've decided that I believe the next step is just to make it into an anthology. So in my guesstimation, like, we'd have to talk to Rolf about it, but I think within the next year or so, you'll be seeing it come out. And it's really cool and really funny, and there's, like, tons of special guests in it and really, really cool people involved. So I think you'll dig it, Shane.
Yeah, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
All right.
You'll have to support it when it comes out.
Yeah, I will.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, thanks very much for the call, Shane. All right.
Excuse me?
I said thanks very much for the call.
You're welcome.
You have a good night.
Bye, Tiff.
Thanks, Shane. Good to talk to you, baby.
All right. I think I hung up on the phone just right. I don't know. This is the first time I heard two calls on this line before.
Oh, look at that.
All right.
We made history.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that it'll hang up here in a second. All right. Let's see what else we got here. What was I going to talk to you about next? Oh, like I said, I was downloading a lot of your movies here to check them out. And I watched Nightmare Man just the other day, and I loved that movie.
No, good.
I did. I really liked that movie. I did. At first, I wasn't too sure about, you know, the character and everything. I was like, it's sounding a little bit like Friday the or not Friday the but Nightmare on Elm Street kind of thing, but it totally wasn't.
No,
no, not at all. So
yeah, once you get to the cabin with all of us, I think that movie really picks up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in my opinion, not just because of me, you know what I mean? But I think, like, oh, now you really get the story, you get what's going on. I think it's really clever how it was done. I mean, obviously, like, I've worked with Rolf, who I was just talking about, who's doing the Once Upon a Horror thing, numerous times. And so that part was, like, basically written for me, and I had such a fun time playing it. And then it had a really good release. Like, After Dark picked it up, it had, like, a 3,000 screen release, so a lot of people got to see it. And I got to work with Bull from Night Court.
Yeah. I love seeing him in movies. He's awesome.
He's great.
Yeah, I liked him in House with William
Cat. Oh, he was fantastic
awesome.
In House.
Yeah, he was. Hey, I'm going to play a real short clip. It's about 20 seconds long. It's actually you from Nightmare Man. The scene is the woman who had the demon Nightmare Man inside of her is tied up on the couch at the moment. And you have pretty much at the end of your wits. You're sitting there boozing it up. Got a gun in your lap, and she just wants to be released, and you just had it with her, and you're just tired of her negativity. So I'm going to play that real quick. I love this scene.
Nice.
It's funny.
I'm actually getting a little sick and tired of all your negativity. I am this close to losing it myself, so either shut the fuck up or talk about something positive, okay?
Positive.
Yeah, positive. You know, make shit up. Tell a story that starts with once upon a time, maybe ends with happily ever after. You know, uplifting bullshit from now on, okay?
Uplifting bullshit.
I loved doing that scene. Unfortunately, the way the movie came out is it's a little dark in a lot of places, and I believe some of it was intentional, you know, because he really wanted it to feel like it would look in your house. Like, if you were trying to hide from somebody, you wouldn't have all these friggin' lights on like half of all these movies do, you know?
Right.
But that scene especially is a little dark for me, but I'm always like, oh man, I hope people sit through it because I love what I did in that. It's not often I'm like super proud of like my performances and anything, but that scene I really dig.
And it is kind of odd. It's a hard thing too when you see somebody that's playing a scene like that where they're like totally stressed out. I mean, like freaking out, but still sound like it's real. You know what I mean? It doesn't sound forced or anything. It sounds very, very natural. It really is a good scene, like you said.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, trying to imagine, like, what would you do? Like, you know, like, holy shit, this really blows, you know? Like, you're not going to just sit around crying. You got to try to pull it together. But at the same time, everybody's dead. You know?
Obviously, too, when I make my posters, I try to find, you know, pictures of all of my guests to put on the posters. I'm sure you've seen the poster that I made for today's show.
Yeah, cool.
When I type in Tiffany Shepis on Google photo search, how much modeling do you do outside of film? Because there's tons and tons and tons of pictures that come up that don't look like they're from movies.
You know, it's I don't actually do a lot of like quote-unquote modeling. what it ends up being is, like, we'll be on set somewhere, and I'm like, oh, man, I need new pictures, you know, for a convention or, you know, for stuff like you using it for or a magazine. And so we'll have the photographer on set just, like, we'll just start messing around and take these wacky photos and, you know, or my husband will shoot photos of me in our house. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's so great. We got to put it online. So it's not like, you know, I'm not a model. I don't do, like, paid modeling or anything like that. But I certainly like to mess around in front of a camera, act like an idiot, and hope that the pictures come out nice on occasion.
Nice. Well, what I was leading into that is obviously you're very comfortable in front of a camera as far as shedding any clothing. Obviously, that's not a problem for you.
Well, at least it used to be. I'm getting old now. I may start putting them back on. We'll see. But I guess that's what a great Photoshop magician is for, right?
Because when I'm searching for your movies, obviously, Romeo and Juliet. I have trouble saying that. I don't know why. Romeo and Juliet comes
Romeo.
Out.
Romeo!
I have too much trouble saying that. Romeo, we're out for Out Thou. That came up. Nightmare Man had come up. And then a movie popped up called Embrace the Darkness Part 3.
Oh, yes.
I don't smoke, but I needed a cigarette at the end of that movie. What's up with that?
They're Playboy movies, man. You know, but before all this stuff was just readily available, you watched, you know, sexy Skinamax type crap. And I said yes to one, and it's certainly sexy Cinemax crap.
it is indeed. I got the movie because I'm getting ready for the show. Then I had to watch it a second time for research, and then I had to watch it a third time to make sure my research was correct.
Oh, perfect. We've gained you as a fan.
So, you know, what can I say? It was an awesome, very, very intense scene you had there with the fang-toothed vampire guy.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're going to do it at all, wouldn't you do it with the fang-toothed vampire guy?
Yeah, to the death, even. You do it to the death. That is awesome.
That's funny. You watched all of these wacky movies, but you didn't watch, like, Frankenstein Syndrome or The Violent Kind or The Hazing, like, my three best films.
Tell me about them.
Way to go.
Tell me about them. Like I said, I got two pages full of stuff here, so I was just, like, randomly grabbing stuff here. Tell me about your favorite ones.
Well, The Frankenstein Syndrome is a very close one. I mean, my husband directed it, wrote it, and produced it. I starred in it. Pretty much every festival it's played at, I've won something for, or somebody's won something for. It's just a really, like, solid, solid, solid indie movie about illegal stem cell research gone horribly wrong. And I play a molecular biologist that is part of a team headed up by Ed Lauder. Remember Ed Lauder from, like, a million 80s movies? Mm-hmm. And I go to this kind of secret place to perfect a serum that can bring dead tissue back to life. And, of course, you know, what happens when that happens? Shit goes horribly wrong, and, you know, there ends up being people that come back to life and zombie-type stuff. And not necessarily zombies, quote-unquote, but you'd have to watch it to check it out. And it's really different, and it's certainly not a B-movie, and very different than Embrace the Darkness, that I think you'd really like it a lot, though. And then The Violent Kind played Sundance, in a movie that played the midnight showings at Sundance, and very weird kind of biker, rockabilly, biker, crazy alien film. And The Hazing's a throwback to everything 80s. You know, if you like any crazy 80s movies, if you liked anything with Bruce Campbell in it, you will love, love, love The Hazing. I get to kill Brad Dourif in it.
Nice.
It's just full of hot, awesome young people, and it's a ton of fun. So those are the three, my top three you have to check out.
I will definitely check those out.
And then there's even more, like, you know, movies like Ninfa that we shot in Italy that you haven't seen. Come on, you really just need to
I couldn't find anything on that.
Step up your Tiffany Shepard's filmography.
Where did you film that at again?
In Italy.
See, I can't find it. I kept finding one that was Japanese. Japanese movie called that with the same title.
Me, because that's the image that you used on your poster where my face is half screwed up. That's from Ninfa.
Yeah, it was driving me crazy. I couldn't find that. Some Japanese movies got the same title.
Really?
Yeah, I found well, that one.
Yeah,
well,
those
scanning
Japanese,
through.
You know, they love. See, theirs is all about nymphs. Like, this movie's not nothing to do with them. I play a nun who goes to Italy to take vows at a new order convent, and the convent is a very screwed up one.
Oh.
Some people call it nunsploitation, which I guess is a genre, so maybe that it is. But
nunsploitation.
You would definitely dig it. And I shot another movie for the same director called Wrath of the Crows, which actually just premiered in L.A. the other day. And I have not seen it yet, but I've heard just amazing things about this movie. And just from shooting it, I can tell you it's going to be a fan favorite, I'm sure.
Awesome.
I am sure. It's a very weird Italian, bizarre prison movie with Debbie Rochon and Brian Fortune and just some really, really awesome cast.
Adding it to my list here.
Good.
I do all day long to watch movies.
Movies to watch. See, that one's not out yet, so you have to put that one for future.
Okay.
Another one for future, Model Hunger, directed by Debbie Rochon, starring Lynn Lowry and myself.
Ooh, she was my guest, too.
Rain. Huh?
I had Lynn Lowry on my show, too. She was awesome.
Look at that. See? You can kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah, she was a great guest.
I'm making your life so easy right now, man.
Between you and my producer, I don't have to do anything except talk.
You don't have to do anything except find $37 in a pizza.
That's right. I keep forgetting about that. I've got to put that aside for you.
Cheese, do, yeah.
Cheese pizza.
Start saving.
Yeah. Start saving up now. All right. I'm going to ask you my signature question. I ask all of my guests this. Out of all of the interviews you've ever done, what is the one question that you had hoped somebody would ask you or thought that they would ask you, and they never did?
I hoped they would ask.
Yeah, or that you would like somebody to ask you, and they just nobody has ever bothered to ask that question.
How am I feeling today?
I asked you that at the very beginning.
No, you didn't. You said, how's it going?
No, you're right. You're right. My bad. So
very different than how are you feeling. Like, how am I feeling is like, how is my health? Like, do I feel okay? Are my allergies bothering me? Am I tired? Not, how you doing?
No, you're right. You're right. So Tiffany Shepis, tell me in my listening audience, how do you feel today?
Well, nobody's ever asked me that. That's really sweet of you to like really care, man. Wow, I am honored. I'm feeling really good. It's 85 degrees in Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Find a way to rub
like
that back in again, didn't you?
The circle of life.
Right. All right.
What's the one question you've always wanted someone to ask you?
Oh, somebody wanted to ask me. Huh. Wow. See, I've never had anybody ask me a question.
Ever in life?
Not on this radio station, anyway. Not in my interview
I
want to history.
Ask you a question. How can I find Long Live the Dead?
Well, that's easy. You can actually go to my website, which is alienstoneentertainment.com. And you click on motion pictures, and all three of the movies I've made are listed there, and they got the trailers up there as well. And there is a store.
Wow.
Whether or not the store is functioning today is another question, but you can always contact me through that as well. And I can
look at that.
I can
or
send you a free copy.
We can send people to your home to just knock on your door.
Yeah.
And they can pay in cash,
mm-hmm.
Right?
For sure. Cash is always good. Still accepted almost everywhere.
Great. See, look at this. We've made history today with a double-lined caller, with somebody asking you a question.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
It's awesome.
Brilliant stuff.
Yeah.
I hope your interview with Felicia goes just as well.
I do hope as well, yes.
For sure, man.